All right, take your Bibles, please. Find 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. How many are looking forward to a real tall sermon today? Amen? Amen. Well, I'm just going to read the scripture. I'll be short.
You are whether you read it or not.
1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 5 through 10. We'll read these verses responsively. So please join me on the even verses. We'll close together on verse number 10, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 10. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Let me give you a few thoughts here about Brother Jackson. Evangelist Jamie Jackson has been a dear, dear, sweet friend of mine for many years. I got to go back even further than that because I met him when he was in junior high and I became his youth director. That's a long time ago, and yes, he was tall then. He's twice as thick as he was, but that didn't take much because he was nothing but a bunch of sticks and bean poles, amen? Brother Jackson has matured into a man of biblical principle. Brother Jackson is a man that knows how to stand and fight for right. I am unashamed to say that. One of the reasons he's here today is because of that. I remember him calling me several years ago. He was facing a tough time, and he said, "Preacher, help me." And we carefully worked our way through, and he knew he was on track for a battle, and we were calculating how to get it, and it was all on the Bible. And he fought it. Many would have gave in. He fought it. And I'm very proud of the fact that he stands for the word of God, not an opinion. Not tradition, but the word of God. Brother Jackson's got a sweet family. God gave him finally a sweet wife. His first six wives weren't. No. just thought I'd say that. I remember he called me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "pray for me. I'm starting to see somebody." And I said, "Okay, let me. And I went through the whole thing. We were at dinner last night and I told Sarah, I said, "I think while y'all were dating, I talked to you more than he did." She said, "Could be." I counseled them through it and counseled them for their marriage. I went to their wedding. Sweet people. They got a little cute little girl. Thank God she looks like her mother. She acts like her father, but no. but here's a young man that travels the country and the world preaching the gospel. He doesn't work on a church staff. He travels every week just from church to church to church to church to church. And that's a tough life. That takes a man of faith. But I want to say something. I've spent 9 weeks teaching on Wednesday nights on the will of God. I want to show you something. That's what the will of God is. Amen. Because somebody did the will of God, reached somebody that wanted to do the will of God, we've got both today. Amen. That's how it works. Say, "Preacher, what happens when I do the will of God?" Things like that. Amen. That's exciting to me. Brother Hiles used to call it clipping coupons as you get older. I'm cashing in some coupons today, amen. You know, that's what 46 years of the ministry does. 46 years of preaching. I remember when he surrendered to preach. Remember when he struggled with it as some of his friends that had done the same thing went the opposite direction. He said, y'all are stupid. And he obeyed God. And I'm very proud of him for it. I introduce to you today, Evangelist Jamie Jackson.
Amen. What a pleasure to be here. Pastor literally read everything that I asked him to read for me, announcing, and he did it very well, did it with passion. Man, I'm super excited that your wife has trained you very well.
That's right.
So you still write the sermons and stuff, correct? Yes. Yes. No, young, we all know that's not true. That's why we can joke around and have fun. I love the fact that we, as my family, we can come back here and we know exactly what to expect. We aren't trying to figure out, are certain people going to be here? Are they not going to be here? Is the church going to be in shambles? We can come back and we say, boy, we know this is going to be a church that is steady, that is moving forward for the Lord. And my, oh my, you guys didn't disappoint. From every handshake, from every gesture that was done, literally, you remove my wife from the service. You have her locked in a room. No, I'm joking. No, I'm joking. By the way, I love you, honey. Yes. But help us. No, but we're definitely excited to be here. So many of you, we're definitely looking forward to seeing. Several of you have been to your house, rode your four-wheelers and everything else. And I look forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do these days. I'm excited to see what he's also going to do in the future here. As we begin to pull in, I see all the dirt, there. I also see some of the houses that are already there. It made me want to grab a dirt bike. I saw the big, huge ramp that they have out there. I don't know if they meant it for that, but I figured we could help them spread the dirt out just a little bit. But super excited about what the Lord is bringing literally to your doorstep.
Yes, sir.
And I'm also excited those people, more they know that they, or they will know, they have a church here that loves them and cares about them. And as we travel, the Lord God has allowed us to see a lot of different things. Well, I can tell you stories and stories, even from the last time that I was here, of what God has been doing in our life, how we've been traveling tonight. I am excited to give you guys a little glimpse of what the Lord did there in the Philippines, Taiwan, and Singapore. I can talk about many different things. Tonight I'll share some of those with you. Like how it was called Shaquille O'Neal and multiple other different things. It almost reminded me a little bit of the Philippines when I got on the platform here and everybody was like, a little bit taller. But believe it or not, Pastor would literally be he would be a tall man even over there. And brother, there's hope. There's definitely hope. I mean, over there, they're just a little bit shorter than what we are here. But I tell you what, when we got off the plane, it was like meeting family. Well, with friends. The reason why is because we all have the same God. Now I'll talk to you more about that. But if you have your Bibles, obviously, if you haven't guessed, First Peter chapter 5 is definitely where we're going to be at. As we travel, one thing that I notice is very common. You have God's people that are trusting him, reading their Bible, doing what they're supposed to do, yet trouble still finds us. Stubble still hinders us. The Bible mentions here in this chapter, the devil's still alive.
That's right.
The devil's still seeking whom he may devour. Oftentimes, the devil doesn't come and attack you when you're at your strongest. He comes and attacks you when you're at your weakest.
That's right.
Oftentimes, though, us as Baptists, we know exactly what to say. Sometimes to hide our feelings. Sometimes individuals will come up to us and we don't want to be a complainer. So they say these words, "How are you doing?" Oftentimes you say, "Mighty fine," or "Doing fantastic," because that's a knee-jerk reaction. But on the inside, we're hurting. We want help. Well, today, we find some of God's people that are in a very interesting situation. Peter is writing to them, trying to help them. The situation that they find themselves is this. They're being sought after. Not because of what they've done, but simply because of this. "I know you. You look familiar. You remind me of someone, and so do you. And so do you. Remind me of someone. In fact, you guys act like and you talk like that person called Jesus Christ. So therefore, you now are my enemy." They're being sought after. Their heads are being cut off. They're being persecuted. They're being tortured. Not because of what they've done, but because who they were striving to be more like. And yet, even during this time, we find these individuals needing a lifeline, needing something to help them and encourage them. And we find Peter, one of God's men, writing to them, helping them. If it was me or you, or at least if it was me, and I was writing to them, probably would tell them it's time to pick up arms.
Amen.
It's time to fight. Time to take it to the enemy. The aggressor wins. So let's take it to them before they take it to us.
Right.
We can be victorious.
Amen.
But yet, there's a time and place for everything.
Amen.
And we find them telling the people, not just that, but we find them saying in verse 6, "Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." Sounds pretty odd for someone who's going through a rough time like what they're going to be reminded this at that particular time. Nothing is done by mistake in the Bible. Everything is done on purpose. And today, oftentimes we take our cares, we take our situations to God, but sometimes even in that, we are being disobedient to him. You were there in Sunday school. My, oh my, what a marvelous lesson that pastor gave us. And he talked about one of the key successes in the Christian life is obeying. Mm-hmm. My, oh my, if you missed it, that is why Sunday school is such a vital part of the church. It's not just a place for fellowship. It's a place where we can really get into the Bible and learn some principles to help us through our life. Wasn't for principles, I don't know where I would be or who I would be with. But I sure am glad that I obeyed when I didn't understand. We call it walking by faith. But ladies and gentlemen, today, I want to talk to you about verse 7. But all the other verses around it support it. That verse of casting all your cares upon him. Because he really does care for you.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying on the cross. And Lord God, we also thank you that that wasn't the last thing that you've done for us. Lord God, you're still alive. You're still on the throne. Heavenly Father, may we be faithful to you. Lord God, please do something today. Heavenly Father, I can only imagine how many people are hurting, weary and well-doing. But Lord God, what a shot in the arm this could be. Lord God, please move me out of the way. So Lord God, you can speak to them personally. Holy Spirit, please have your will and way. I yield myself to you. Oh Lord God, please allow us to be used by you in a great and mighty way. We give you the honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes when we read the God's word, most of the time, can I tell you this? Oftentimes we get it wrong. Most of the time we focus just on reading our Bible. Can I tell you, so many of us, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that reading your Bible isn't important. But how many of us just read our Bible to read our Bible? You read your Bible just to check it off the list. Why? Just so when pastor comes or when someone comes to you, they say, hey, did you read your Bible? Yep, I checked it off my list. But how many of us not only read our Bible, but we study to show thyself approved? It's amazing how if you study God's word, how it will be like a flower. It does look beautiful. But my, oh my, when you really get into the inside and it blooms and you're there long enough to see the goodness that's on the inside, how much more it comes alive. In this Bible verse that we're reading here, where it says, casting all your cares. Boy, that word cast means to throw, fling, or to send. Simply means this. Madam, you're close enough to where I can literally fling something in your direction and you can grab it and receive it. But then some of us are a little bit further away where if I fling it, it would be all over the place trying to get it to you. So I have to throw it to you. And then some of you are farther away even than that. And I simply have to use a military term saying I have to send it in your directions. By any means necessary, propel it to the situation, to the point to where it reaches its target. We find our Lord God, through the inspiration of Peter, or through Peter, is reminding us, no matter how far away you are from him, you are just a throw, a fling, or sin from him caring. He careth for you. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, not only does he want us to throw, fling, or sin with that word cast that was used. Ladies and gentlemen, oftentimes when we come to this Bible verse, obviously we know the way that we talk to Jesus is through prayer. Most of the time when we go to God, when we go to God using this verse, we go to him giving him our compassion, things that we are compassionate about. Some of us, not only that, we give them things that show kindness. Lord God, I don't understand why so-and-so is my enemy, but Lord God, I'm going to pray for my enemies also. Amen. Lord God, showing the kindness of my heart because I am to obey you. But Lord God, there's also times when we go to God and we give him things that are responsibilities. Lord God, please help me with these tasks so I can be faithful to them. There's not a problem with any of those things today, but yet, oh no, that's not what I'm talking about, or that's not what the Bible or what Peter's talking about here when he reminds or gives these people the thought. What he's talking about today in today's term would be this. He's talking about some of you casting your cares to God. What I mean by some of you, those of you who your anxiety is so high, you don't know what to do. Some of you, you're worried. You're concerned. You don't want to show it. Why? Because you think it makes you weak. Yeah. Today I want to talk to some of you who are having restless nights. You stay up tossing and turning, looking for answers. But yet your mind is just spinning its wheels. Talking to some of you where your shoulders are heavy. You've been carrying a lot. Some of you are worried about paying your bills. All of us who have children are worried about our children. Some of you not only worried about your children's future, you're worried about your children right now. Some of you, you're wondering, you're worrying, to the point where you're weary.
That's right.
I believe the Bible says weary and well-doing. But can I say to some of you, those of you who sung the songs that were played by Elvis Presley earlier, and you sung the songs, and my, oh my, you were crying out literally before us for God to do something in your life today. Some of you, you've been carrying your burdens for so long, you think they're yours. But my Bible says that you are bought with a price.
Yes, sir.
And if you are bought with a price, that means that you are not your own. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, Jesus Christ did not only die on the cross just to save you. He died on the cross so you can be his child, so he can care for you through your whole race called life. Oh, if he cared so much to die for you, I wonder how much he wants you to be successful in this area called life. Oh, some of you, can I tell you? Oh, the way to be successful, or shall I say, the way to living a carefree life isn't allowing your money to pile up. It isn't climbing the corporate ladder.
Right.
It isn't self-relevance that you can function on your own. Can I tell you, me being from Florida, key to life also is in Disney World.
Amen.
The key of life is this, trusting God.
Amen.
Trusting in his hand,
Amen.
Trusting his plan, and also trusting his promise.
That's right. That's good.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard for you to know his promise if you don't know him. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know him, can I tell you this? You've come to the perfect place. You come to the place where we're going to love you enough to give you Jesus, not to give you man's opinion, even though we all could give you our opinion, even our testimony on what Jesus Christ has done for us. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about that personal relationship that you can have with him by yourself. Oh, it's one thing for pastor to have it, and another thing for these great men to have it. But it's another thing altogether for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, do you know him today? Do you know him personally? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you do or if you don't, I'm here to tell you, he cares for you. He loves you. My, oh my, he doesn't want you to go through life handling it by yourself.
That's right.
You don't have to handle it by yourself. You don't have to juggle all your burdens and everything to keep you up. That's why Peter is reminding them, hey, the consequences are heavy right now, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Hey, keep moving in his direction. He'll never fail you. Hey, his thoughts aren't our thoughts. He doesn't move the way we do. But if you trust him, you'll come out on top every single time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I don't know how to just go to him. Sometimes, boy, I go to him and it's, Lord God, I don't know how to say it. And literally, sometimes I'm like, Lord God, I know I don't have to say it. Lord God, I know you know what I'm coming to you about. I can give you a silly example would be this. Got to be smarter than the tool. My dad would always say this, son, you going to let it whip you? Yep. Going to let it whip me. Some of you would say this. Pastor, maybe you can help me. Maybe right now this is a therapy session. You understand what I mean when I say this. Oftentimes, sometimes we have a hard time communicating. When God gave me a wife. Woo! Guys, no. Gave me a wife, gave me a beautiful daughter. Can I tell you this? Sometimes when I'm with my wife, she'll say this. Can we talk? Boy, no, don't get ahead of me. This is a therapy session. If you're in Sunday school, pastor says, oh, oftentimes he just listens in those sessions. And boy, slow to speak. And here I am. Trying to be the husband to my wife. She says, honey, can we talk? Absolutely. Boy, what do you want to talk about? Boy, and I start talking. Trying to, you know, grease the wheel a little bit. And then I quickly come to find out she really doesn't want me to talk. She just wants to talk.
Amen.
And then after learning this the hard way, Next time she says, honey, can we talk? I've been there. I've done that. And I now own the t-shirt. So I know. Shut up. I'm sorry, I know we have kids here. Be quiet. Boy, I be quiet and I listen to her. And then at the very end, she said, well, aren't you going to say something? You said you just wanted to talk. So the example, what is this? No matter how we come to God, He understands us where we are.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, not sure where you are today. Maybe some of you, this is a sermon more that you need now. Maybe some of you, this is a sermon for the future. Or maybe some of you, this is a sermon more you can give to someone else to help them in their time of need. But whatever it is, here's the gist of it. These individuals hurting. Boy, they're hurting. They're in trouble. Just like some of us today. We're hurting. We're literally to the point where we're working. We're reading our Bible. We're literally sacrificing. We're doing everything we know. But it seems like we're not breaking through. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, he's telling them simply this. How much do you think this bottle of water weighs? Anybody tell me?
8 ounces.
6 ounces. Most of you probably didn't answer because you thought it was a trick question. And this is what it is. This right now is pretty light. I believe everybody in this room can lift it, and it'll be absolutely fine. But after 30 minutes, some of you start, whew, what happened, boy? It would start to burn. Yeah. Still weighs the exact same. Mm-hmm. But if I asked you tonight and you're still doing it, hey, how much does that weigh? You would say, boy, it's starting to weigh a lot.
Right.
And then maybe we went the rest of the week, and then all of a sudden. I was like, Lord, is there a spider on my head? I'm like, does nobody care enough to tell me? Everybody's just like. How about we wait a week? Then all of a sudden we find you again. Boy, now you're to the point where you're jerking and you're doing everything. Why? Still weighs the exact same. But now it's heavy.
Yeah.
Now Lord God is saying, what are you doing? This is why I told you, you can come boldly to the throne.
Good.
You can come and talk to me. And now Peter is simply reminding him, oftentimes in our Christian life, this is what we do. Lord God, I have some things that are heavy. Lord God, I'm going to give those to you. And then we sit back in our seat and we think, I've done what I'm supposed to. But he says, casting all your cares.
Right.
Amen.
Not just the heavy ones. Lord God wants the light ones too.
Amen.
He wants the medium ones too. He wants all of them. The reason why is because the light ones eventually will become heavy.
That's right. That's good.
And our Lord God is saying, you don't even have to get to that point where your shoulders are so heavy from or burdened down. You can simply go. To me, the best example I can give you is this. We use this term, and we don't use it lightly, getting right with God.
Yes.
You ever got right with God in here at the altar? And then once you got right with him, what happened when you stood up? You felt lighter. You felt like you could run your race again. You felt like you could make it. Why? Because you simply laid it all on the altar and you let God handle it. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, we will give it to God. And then we go back to our seat. And we will try to fix it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Christian life is a life of faith. Most of the time, we exercise our faith when we get saved. But that should be the beginning of us exercising our faith. And through life, where we learn to strengthen our faith in the Lord. To the point where in verse 10 where it says he will complete us. Or to make one perfect. Yeah. He will make us to be what he wants us to be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you went to God? You gave him everything.
Well, that's good.
Some of us, it would scare us to death. We had to do what they used to do in the 80s and 90s. And the churches would come together and they would have an all-night prayer meeting. You'd think, oh, no, there's no way in the world I can possibly do. What in the world are they praying about? I mean, good night. That's absolutely crazy. I can't pray past 2 minutes. And he's talking about praying for that amount of time. The reason why is because when they prayed, they gave it all to God. Time for us to say if it was good enough for grandma and it was good enough for grandpa, we're no better than them. And boy, they had the faith to finish their race.
Amen.
Maybe it should be good enough for all of us.
Amen.
Oh, I don't know about you. Life is hard. Life can be rough. But I'd rather go through life enjoying it. Rather have things be a little bit lighter. I'm not saying that everything's going to be taken away. I can be saying it could be lighter. It could be easier. One thing for you to carry it alone, sister. That's another thing for somebody to pick you up and say, we'll walk with you.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. It's good.
That's why you have the church. The called out assembly. The ecclesia. Because sometimes when you can't handle it, and you're going to God, and you're bearing it all, God will give you a man of God who will say, you don't have to handle this by yourself.
Amen.
Yes. Now, sometimes he helps you sort things out the way that it should be, or sometimes he simply is a little bit more direct. But he always gives us exactly what we need. Because he's saying this, Lord God, what do they need? This is what you need. This morning, some of you need old days, old dose, getting along with God again. Not just praying, giving him everything.
Yes.
Lord God, there's a lot to get caught up on. If you don't mind, I'd like to start now. Here in a few minutes, we're going to have this thing called the altar call. When we have an altar call, most of the time people get this confused. An altar call is simply the first way for you to be obedient to God.
Amen.
How many of you had kids? When you speak and you do it for the first time, what do you want them to do? And if we are all children of God, then what do you think he wants us to do?
Good.
When he gives us something to obey the first time? That's why I often ask people this, when's the last time you've been to an altar? What I'm asking them is, when's the last time you obeyed God?
It's good.
Because when God speaks to me, Lord God, I need to talk to you. Sometimes you speak to me and I don't even understand. Lord God, I know you do. Lord God, I need some help in this situation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll even go to other men of God and be like, I need help with this. Why? It's too heavy for me. The more they're able to help me. Oh, today, I told you the verses around it would help. Verse 7. And before you get to the point where you're going to throw or fling it or send it to God, what does verse 6 first start off with? It says, humble yourself. That's God. Before you can throw anything to him, you have to humble yourself and bow. Oh God, I'm humbling myself. I'm surrendering myself to you. Right before I trust you or I send it to you. Boy, today, maybe it's not a prayer problem that we have, it's a pride problem.
That's right. Yeah, come
on. Some of you, you say this to your kid, if you were to just come to me, I could have helped you.
Yeah.
But you allowed your pride to get in the way.
Right.
When I could have made everything much lighter and better for you. Our Lord God is saying, why don't you just humble yourself? Humble yourself the same way you did when you knew that you were dying and on your way to hell. You needed a Savior. And you heard of Jesus Christ being the answer. And you humbled yourself and you went to someone. You said, please show me how he can be my Savior also. Oh, the same way that you did that. You have heavy burdens. Congratulations, you're human. But you also have an outlet for that called Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
And you can go to him. But you got to humble yourself. Oh, this morning, are you humble? If you're humble, are you obeying? If you're obeying, I hope that you carry everything to Jesus. Because he's stronger than we are. He's mightier than we are.
Sure.
Think about it. Our Lord God can answer all of our prayers at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me or you, it would be like, quiet, one at a time. Please talk, please talk. But even when I'm in Asia and you're over here, he hears both of us. Is strong enough to answer our prayers.
Yes, sir.
He's just asking us today, humble yourself. Realize who you really are. Give me your burdens. Trust me by faith. Faith is not a weakness. Faith is the direction in which you're heading. I am headed towards Jesus Christ. So I am moving, I am trusting him by faith. I don't understand everything, but Lord God, I'm going to trust you until the point in time where I do understand. Lord God, I'm going to cast my fears. I'm going to do everything. Why? Because when the ship is a-rocking, I know who I'm anchored to.
Yeah.
And that anchor doesn't move.
Amen.
That anchor is steadfast.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, may we rely on the anchor that can hold the weight,
and
that can solve the problems, that can help lighten our load. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring for us. Heavenly Father, so many times, Lord God, maybe it pretty much is all the time, you've been faithful. Lord God, how many times have we messed things up? Have we tried to solve the problems ourselves instead of taking to you? Lord God, maybe we've learned to take it to you. Lord God, we give you the stuff that we can't handle. Lord God, we try to solve the small stuff. You said if you just give me everything, I can help you. you just give me everything, I can heal you. If you just give me everything, I can make you perfect. Oh, this morning, maybe we just need some of God's people to do what Grandma and Grandpa did and humble themselves. Oh, this morning, before we do anything else, well, I am humbled that I get an opportunity to serve my Savior. Oh, I am humbled to be in God's house. I'm humbled to the point where I'm like, Lord God, if there's anything, Lord God, anything, Lord God, that I can do to be a better person, to be a better child, Lord God, please show me. Maybe this morning the Lord God has spoken to some of you in this area of knowing Him personally. We call Him being our Savior because He saved us from the place called hell. Because according to the Bible, when we perish, when our eyes close here in death, we either go to that wonderful place called heaven, or we go to that place called hell. God did not mean for us to go to that place called hell. But if we don't humble ourselves, that's exactly where we go. But this morning, maybe our Lord spoke to you about that in that area. Oh, if you do me a favor. In fact, at this time, ask for Pastor to come. He's going to direct you in the way that you should go, or who to talk to, or just simply maybe He would want you just to look at Him. Because our greatest fear as man of God is someone coming into the service not knowing Him and walking out of the service not knowing Him. Oh, you're that important. Maybe some of you, you're to the point where you're past that, to where you have that victory. Maybe some of you, it's just time as Pastor comes just to trust and obey.